Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.
Well, what a performance this has been. It's a fitting reward. He's quiet, he's unassuming, but he's got that inner determination that's led him to this victory. It'll be Australia's 21st Olympic gold medal in track and field, and he's going to join some great names like Betty and Shirley and Herb and Ralph, and now there's Jared.
Absolutely. What a list.
And his coach, Brent Fallance, his wife Claire's in the team. They're a partnership, and the trio have produced his performance today.
So that bronze and that silver in Beijing 4 years ago, and now the gold. And now Jared Talent is, yes, the Olympic champion in the 50K walk.
1,405 days since the event took place. Well done to Channel 7, Dave Colbert and Bruce McAvaney, rewriting history, so to speak, with that fantastic call. On the line now to join us is an Olympic gold medalist in the 50K walk, Jared Talent. G'day, Jared.
Thank you. Very emotional to hear that commentary.
I was about fantastic. To say, how does that strike you when you hear that sort of 1,400 days later? What's your initial impression?
Oh, it was just beautiful that the effort they went through to do that for me. Very, very special. Just a great feeling comes over me, just reliving those moments at what should have happened on the day.
Jared, did you ever think this day would come? And when you finished the race, in your own mind then, did you think, I've been done by a bloke that's not playing by the rules, or did that come out later?
No, yeah, definitely on the day. My coach, first thing he said to me was that you're most likely the champion. You've been beaten by a cheat. The Russians were very suspicious of the Russians. They had lots of athletes in the same training group be banned for doping, and we had suspicions.
How do you feel, mate, to have that taken away from you? Just the feeling that you'd get getting that gold medal in front of all those people, but to have that taken away from someone that cheated.
Yeah, it's really bad moment that you miss out on that, everything that comes with winning a medal. And, you know, winning on the day, standing on the podium, it's devastating. And, it was really special to have it done yesterday, but, yeah, it doesn't make up for having it done on the day.
What about the financial implications, Jared? I'm sure that's certainly not at the forefront of your mind and what you're doing and what you've achieved, but if you come back to Australia from London as an Olympic gold medalist, just the way we operate with sport, in many ways financially it's very different from being an Olympic silver medalist?
Yeah, I think so. I've just noticed since the decision was made in March that it's been a lot bigger. The Olympic champion, I think, means a lot more than just being a silver or bronze medalist, and there have probably been more opportunities opened up now since that, and you've got to think of all the opportunities I've probably missed out on over those previous 4 years.
Why'd you get into walking, mate? It's a more unusual sport. You've got, and I say this with the greatest respect, you've got a great frame to be a walker.
Yeah, I love endurance sports and loved athletics when I was a kid, and the walk was always the first event when I went to junior athletics on a Friday night in Ballarat. Was doing really well in distance training as well, but yeah, just had a knack for the walk and went with it.
And what are you covering? We had Jess Tringove on, and she was telling us the other day about 3 minute K's for the marathon. What are you covering a K in walking for the 50K walk on average?
So the 50K, around 4:20 per kilometre, or nearly 14K an hour.
I couldn't run that.
Well, and that's the point. Now, Jared, I guess the big story that's broken overnight, and you knew this question was coming, the IAAF have voted unanimously to extend the ban on Russian athletes. How do you feel about that? And how do you feel about the potential 1%, 2%, 10%, 20%, 30% of clean Russian athletes that now won't be able to compete in Rio? It's a tricky one.
Yeah, it definitely is a tricky one. I really welcome the decision. It's a really positive thing for the sport. It's going to change, particularly in my event, the way races are raced. Athletes that now, probably in the past, never thought they had a chance of winning a medal because the Russians were dominating so much, now actually think that they can win a medal. So you're going to have a lot more people confident on the start line. Unfortunately, there are those athletes that may be clean in Russia. It's very, very few that are going to miss out. But if there is a potential there that they can prove that they are clean, if they've been tested outside of Russia, trained in other countries, trained with coaches that are well-respected and are strong for anti-doping, the potential that they could compete under an IOC flag or something like that.
Is there any conversations ever had, Jared? We're getting to the nitty-gritty. Pre-race, post-race, you guys travel together in big international events. Do you ever confront athletes face-to-face that you believe are breaking the rules, or does anyone within the sport?
Yeah, definitely. I've got a good group of friends from quite a few countries, and at the recent World Teams Championship in Rome, some of them were very vocal against a drug cheat that just returned to competition. And
what does that mean? Very, very vocal. What? Explain the scene to us.
Oh, like just calling him a cheat, pretty much like that. And maybe using a few profanities along the way as well. But
and how does that athlete in particular react to that?
They in that situation. He tried to explain that he is a person, he has feelings, and you know, that he's trying to change. But it's difficult for us because we don't believe that. And this particular athlete's lied many times in the past. So
he was just having a sandwich at the bar, and you've just gone up and said you cheat.
Oh no, this is during the competition.
Oh, okay.
During the championship. Yep. Yeah.
Now, mate, we move on. Now you're an Olympic gold medalist. This is a great, and I'm thrilled to ask you this question. Can you defend your title in Rio? What a wonderful question to frame to you.
I hope I can. It's going to be very tough, very, very hard. There's probably four or five guys that could really take the gold medal. I'm in that group. I've had a really good build-up the last few years. So 2013, I was bronze medalist at the World Championships. 2015, I was the silver medalist. So if that trend continues, that would be perfect and get onto the top of the podium in Rio.
Jared, it's been a great treat to have a chat with you, and it's one of the great sports stories. Undoing the wrong, it's fantastic, mate. Are you sleeping with your medal at the moment? Is it tucked away? Do you look at it and think, wow?
It's actually in my pocket right at this minute.
We'll keep it safe there, and hopefully there's another one of a similar colour to it after Rio. Again, congratulations for not only your athletic performance, but your integrity throughout the whole situation, Jared.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great to speak to Jared Taylor. I find that fascinating that you're confronting a bloke, looking him in the eye and saying you're a cheat, and I know you're cheating me. You're cheating me out of everything I want to achieve.
That's why you're the best in the business, Howie. You ask the good questions, and when you ask that question, I was pretty intrigued, but it's amazing that you brought up a really good point as well when you first started talking and saying about financially. Wow. And coming back as an Olympic gold medalist, world champion, to second is a lot. And to get it 4 years later, like the stuff that he would have missed out on, you know, things do open up. I won the jungle. I'm on this show.
Well, yes, you did. But
pretty similar. Gold medal,
mate, the
jungle.
Way we look at the Olympics, I'm going off the topic now, but I come back to the example of James Magnussen. Won an Olympic silver medal in London in the 100-metre freestyle. Was beaten by 1/100th of a second by a bloke called Nathan Adrian. Came back and was portrayed as a failure.
Yeah.
He's an Olympic silver medalist. The difference between silver and gold, rightly or wrongly, the way we view it, the way sponsors view it, is just absolutely massive.
100%. And he got beaten by a bloke with two first names, so that's a bit stiff.
Oh, Nathan, Adrian, plenty to come on the Dead Set Legends. Mark Webber to join us, and Fev just giving us his unique spin on life on the Dead Set Legends. Taylor Duray as well, Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman. It is now time to go to about 2.5 hours southwest of Paris, where they're about to hold one of the iconic motor races in the world, the Le Mans 24-hour. We are joined by the world endurance champion, former Formula One driver, and a man who is second on the grid in the one race that he really, really, really wants to win. Mark Webber joins us. Hello, great man.
Hey, Howie, how are you?
Well, I'm fantastic. How are you? The people that don't understand the significance of this motor race, just give us a brief history lesson, Mark, about the race and what it means to the drivers and the likes of your good self.
Yeah, look, it's one of the three biggest races of the year in the world, probably. I think, you know, Indy 500, Monaco, Carlo Grand Prix, and the Le Mans 24 Hour. It's been over 90 years now running of the race, and yeah, one day against the clock, basically. So whoever does the most laps wins. Man and machine, ultimate test, if you like. And three drivers per car. And it's obviously about 8 hours driving each, but just basically flat out time trial, hard as you can go against the conditions. And for the Australian listeners, it's probably a little bit like the Sydney Hobart Yacht Race, because you have a lot of different classes within one race. So we're going for, obviously, our right line on us with the quickest cars and arguably the best skippers, let's say. And we've got a navigate our way through some of the back markers because we have to cross them every lap, obviously. It's not like the boat race, obviously, where you get clear. So a lot of landmines along the way, mate, but we're in good shape and we're going for the win.
In your typical understated way, landmines. I'll just bring a couple of the landmines to the people's attention that might be listening. The American actor Patrick Dempsey, who is Dr. Derek Shepherd in Grey's Anatomy, he's getting around, as well as a gentleman, I don't know if you know, had the pleasure of meeting him, Mark, a gentleman, a French businessman by the name of Frederic Saucet, pardon my pronunciation, who had his arms and legs amputated after picking up a rare illness, and he's trying to race in the event this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Incredible how they've managed to modify the car for him. He's got everything on the one usable arm that he's got, so it's his brakes, and he can still use his part of his amputated legs for pressure, I believe, on some of the brake or the brake pedal and the throttles done through the hand. So, yeah, I haven't seen the cockpit myself, but phenomenal effort. Yeah, and we've got Fabian Barthez is also driving, the ex-Manchester United goalkeeper, and Chris Hoy, who's obviously a track cyclist, Olympian, one more gold medal, hot dinners. But yeah, so there's a few different characters in the race, and it's always been like that. The Le Mans 24 Hours has always been that you can have a bit of a go yourself. But the ratio still is obviously professional drivers, real guys having a crack at the front, obviously having a win.
So what's more important, mate, the physical side of this or the mental application? Because as you said, 8 hours, I presume in the entirety of the race, you're not getting a great deal of sleep when you're out of the car either. So it must be a real, real test, as big a test as you could face in world motorsport, I guess.
Yeah, certainly up there. There's no question about that. Probably mentally, mate, because, you know, we have a warm-up on Saturday morning. So tomorrow morning, this time we'll get the track ready for, well, the warm-up would be over by now. So we've got, basically, if you can get about 90 minutes sleep in 30 hours, that's about as good as you're going to get, mate. So you're a bit smoked mentally, but yeah, it's amazing. You know, the adrenaline and you know, the human body's obviously an incredible thing. We've practiced this a few times already. We've done about four 30-hour simulations, you know, away from the spotlight. So we're going to give it a go now, and yeah, bit of coffee, bit of Red Bull, mate, and just keep going.
You're a professional. You've always got the sponsors on board. I've always enjoyed that about your own work. You had an amazing result there last year when you were just, you got the podium but didn't quite get the win. You went on to win the world championship that year. Can you win it this year?
Yeah, mate, look, we're in as good a shape as we can be in. I think that, you know, we have done a lot of work. Team's on fire. We're, prep's gone well. And as I say, that all the things we can control, we've done what we can do, so now we've got to go out and make it count when everyone's watching and the lap times are on. See what we can do, mate. We're going to give it our absolute best, and Timo and Brendan, my two teammates, are driving awesome, and we're just ready to go now. Just want to get on with the race.
Mark Webber's going to stick around. Plenty more discussion, including his thoughts on Daniel Ricciardo's new deal at Red Bull. Mark Howard, Brendan Favola with Mark Webber on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Well, Mark Webber has been good enough to stick around, trying to win the Le Mans 24-hour race for the first time. Physically, how are you compared to your heyday? I do sort of, having a look at a few pages on Wikipedia, possibly you might turn 40 in August. So, and I've seen you train in the gym and I know how hard you train, but are you still as sharp as you were in a motor racing sense?
Yeah, probably a little bit off, mate, compared to the F1 days, just because the G-forces are down a little bit more. So I was never a huge gym junkie anyway, mate. Love the outdoors, love my running, love my mountain biking, love being outside. So I still, yeah, definitely get amongst that. So my weight's pretty good. I'm still on the numbers there, but yeah, probably, you know, neck and shoulders and just all those things which had to be really top dollar in Formula 1. You know, I'm probably not giving that as much love as I should be, but I don't really need to now because, like you say, mate, I'm a few grey hairs rolling through, buddy, so, you know, it comes pretty quick. But we're going all right, mate. I can hang on to the girl for a couple of hours. And, it's certainly a part of the job, obviously. We've got to still respect them. That's been a part of the job which I've always enjoyed. There's no sacrifice at all. I love the physical side of it. And it's good fun.
I think you're still going all right. I saw you floating around on the front of GQ magazine not too long ago looking very, very suave. So I think you're going okay. Hey, the world of Formula One, which you've been involved in this year. Obviously, you start the season with us at Network 10 in a broadcast sense, and you've been doing some broadcast in the UK. It's been a fascinating season. News just breaking in Australia that Dan Ricciardo's signed up for another couple of years. You more than anyone, I guess, know, Mark, that unless there's a better seat out there, you probably stick with what you've got.
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, they've been great to him for his whole career. Obviously, loyalty in this game is pretty pretty thin on the ground, obviously. But you know, Daniel, I believe, would have had a long-term contract with Red Bull anyway from his junior category. So for them to exercise that, I believe they would have been in a much more, not in a stronger position, but obviously in terms of how the options might have been set up. But you know, I'm not sure that A, he would have wanted to leave, and B, that, you know, even if he probably could have. So and look, it's not a bad situation he's in. You know, they've got a great chassis, they've got a great car, which is generally the hardest thing to get right. So once they can get the engine online as well, you know, he could be in, you know, again, in the best team. So that's what he's aiming for. I don't see, you know, even if Ferrari was on the option, I don't see them firing yet. They just still quite haven't done what they've done. You know, they're very, very prestigious, and I think that that will be phenomenal. But I think Red Bull is still, you know, his best bet in the next few years. I really do believe that.
Fascinating battle going on. Nico Rosberg just had that hot streak, mate, where he couldn't lose a race, and Lewis couldn't do a thing right. It started to change now. I think it's only a 9-point championship lead. If you had to put it on the line now, who would you be backing to be world champion at the end of this season? Nico for the first time or Lewis again?
Well, yeah, I think that Nico, he's going to struggle, you know, to you know, Lewis is, when he gets going, he's obviously incredibly quick. He's very versatile. All the tracks, you know, coming up now as well, he's very strong on those. So also what's interesting for me, mate, we've seen this amount of aggression in the first sector, the first part of the Grand Prix, and that's purely because when you're an inter-team battle like that, which I've been in, you're trying to get, you want to finish the first lap in the lead because you're trying to get the call on the first pit stop because the team give you that, the lead car gets a priority. So we've seen them touch it in Montreal. We've seen them touch in Barcelona. So there's a lot of aggression and pressure on both Mercedes drivers in the first sector of the race. Now, Lewis has done, he's struggling a little bit like what I used to at the moment. He's making the starts, he's struggling to get the car off the line, so that's definitely a big negative for Lewis. If it was a longer run in Montreal, the first corner, Nico would have got the job done, and he probably could have, you know, would have been a different story. So a few dynamics are still to play out, but I think that Lewis, as long as he can keep his head in the game, he's obviously still got a lot of these, you know, off-piste distractions. If he can keep that going, then you know, you can go for the fourth world title.
Mark, off the topic, we've seen some tragedy in the world in recent times. It's very close to where you are in the UK and Paris and Europe at the moment. Has life changed for you and people around you, or has life changed at sporting events with everything going on?
Yeah, look, mate, you do. You know, you can't have your blinkers on. There's no question about it. It's a different feeling out there. No question about it. We've had a lot of tragedies in the last year or so, and some right on your doorstep. Obviously, you've had friends that were, you know, Stade de France that night. I had, you know, it is very, very close to us, and I think that you do change your mindset a little bit. How long you want to be hanging around, maybe in certain areas, public areas, or, you know, but you can't also change your life too much. You know, you want to, otherwise they'd be winning a little bit in a way, these guys. So it's crazy stuff, mate. Absolutely, you know, so unpredictable. And I think that you know, I've got a lot of friends in the Special Force in the UK, and obviously they've had to deal with the IRA in the past. But the IRA was obviously pretty unpredictable, and they were very, very difficult to handle. And I think the UK have got a bit more experience anyway, trying to handle that stuff. But in terms of these these random shootings, I mean, there's just nothing you can probably do about that. So it's tricky times, mate. And hopefully you see the end of it very, very soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, mate, we got a bit off the topic there, but listen, we appreciate your time. Stay safe. You've got a massive 24 hours ahead of you. So get some kip, get a few of those Red Bulls into you, and may you stand atop the top step of the podium come the end of, as you said, one of the three great motorsport races in the world.
Thanks, Marty, and I'm looking forward to hearing your debrief and surfing up at Noosa there, mate, if you get a chance.
Yeah, it's pumping in Noosa and warm. It's pumping down here and it's absolutely freezing, mate. We appreciate your time. Stay safe. Race well.
Cheers. See ya. Bye-bye. Cheers,
good luck to Mark Webber. Everyone loves him. If he wins that race in Le Mans, that is a massive deal for Australian motorsport, Febby.
Yeah, it is, mate. It's an amazing event.
24 hours.
Wow.
30 minutes kip in the whole of 24 hours. Extraordinary. Taylor Duray from the Hawthorne Football Club joins us next on
good
the
player.
Dead Set Legends. Gun. Triple M. Fev, the Hawks last night, 14-9-83. Got out of jail in some ways to the Roos, 11-18-84. Always nice when we get a man from the Hawthorn Football Club on. This man, two-time premiership player, Taylor Duray, joins us. Hello, Taylor.
G'day, Howie. How are you?
Wonderful to speak to you. I sort of mentioned get out of jail. Do you guys see it like that or not? It was a really interesting game of footy last night with a bit of biffo as well.
No, not get out of jail. I mean, you probably look at the scoreboard and they've obviously had a lot of shots. But I felt like we defended well. A lot of those we rushed over the line. So you sort of, it's hard to look at it. But, I mean, if they did kick straight, it would have been probably a different game. But our forwards did their job and we got a win.
Mate, you did a close down on the great Boomer Harvey. Any good sledges? He loves to give a good sledge out in the field. Did he give you any remarks?
No. He was...
Oh, come on, don't lie.
No, he just rammed me off my feet. He's a pretty fit old bastard.
Do you see yourself playing at that age?
Oh, definitely not. I was almost full body cramped by the end of it, and he was still running on top of the ground. So, he's a super player, and he's
amazing
for his age. I can't believe how hard he still works and how quick he still is.
Doc, tell us a little bit about the man that is Sicily. Kicked 5 last night, celebrates like no man I've ever seen, but he seems to have that bit of X factor about him and really enjoys his own work, which in turn, therefore, I enjoy him.
Exactly. I mean, Fev, you can vouch for this. If a forward doesn't love their own work, they're probably not going to make it.
Yep.
I mean,
I totally concur.
So, he's a bit of a live wire for us. I think what he's been trying to work on really is consistency through games. And although we didn't start forward, his whole time up in the forward line last night, he had an impact. So he was, super important for us.
Doc, how far away is your skipper, mate?
I think he's looking like he'll be a good show to play the Gold Coast game this weekend. So I know he'd be pretty keen to stop doing all the running sessions at the club and just get out there and play games. So I dare say he'll be a big chance this weekend.
Turned 42 on the weekend, Hodgie.
Come on, mate. He's got 5 years and 4 more premierships left.
He's got a few flags.
Now, Doc, the story coming out of the game, I'm not sure, well, you will have, and I'm sure your media department have discussed it with you, that Brad Scott made some comments about comments that the umpires made to his players about Lindsay Thomas not getting free kicks. You are in the back line. Did you hear anything said out there last night?
No.
surprise, surprise, Doc.
Even if I was right there, no. Look, I honestly didn't hear. I'm not sure of the issue. Look, there's been a crackdown on the head high free kicks, and there was a lot that weren't paid last night, which I liked. For both sides, I'm not sure what the comments are. I guess I'd probably just have to leave it there.
Yeah, no, well, I thought you'd get away from that one. How are the Hawks tracking in general? You look at where you are on the ladder, you look like you're going absolutely brilliantly, yet there's still a lot of people externally putting some slows on your footy club.
Yeah, and I think that's probably because standards we've set ourselves and performances we've held ourselves to over previous years, we probably haven't got to that level yet. And it's a very different side to last year and previous years, but we're starting to build, and there's a lot of young guys in the team that starting to play bigger roles. And you saw last night, our younger guys are really good when it was heat of the battle type stuff, getting close to the end. And these are the developments that our team has had. And so although we're not playing our best footy, I think the way we're developing, it's setting us up for a good second half of the year. And I mean, win-loss ratio is what you're after. We're going into the bye and we're sitting in a good position.
Taylor Duray, the number 8 from the Hawthorn Football Club, is with us with the Dead Set Legends, Brendan Favola.
Mate, we know all AFL players, they love their sport. Let's get down to the real pressing stuff. Cavs or Warriors Monday, mate?
I don't want LeBron to go, what would it be, 2-6 in his, or 2-5 in in his finals campaign. So I'm hoping for that reason the Cavs can get up.
Okay, further away from footy, I like where Fev's going. You're very active on Twitter. I'm going to answer a question for you, then I'm going to pose one to Fev, and he can answer it. You said a couple of days ago, should I go to Miami or Barcelona on Twitter? Madrid or Barcelona? Definitely Barcelona, my friend, but watch out for the old pickpockets in Los Ramblas. That's my answer. Now, Fev, I've got one for you here that he sent out, because this is more your cultural area. Doc sent out, need some artwork around my place. Any suggestions? What type of artwork should he be getting, Fev?
I've got a few tattoos. Talking about that sort of art, or
and I don't think he's talking pictures of himself up on the wall either, Fev.
I've got a couple of frames for you, mate. You can put up in your room.
Well, Phil Clark, you got those.
Just me kicking snags.
As we let you go, mate, there's a urban legend about you and your family, and I need you to set me whether it's true or not. There's an urban legend that relatives of you, relatives of you, came up with the first gasoline powered car, and Henry Ford, as in Model T, ripped off their idea and made a fair bit of money out of it. True or false?
Yeah, mate. That's why I'm kicking a footy around. I could have been in a mansion somewhere on probably my own private island. But
so who were these folk? Where were they related to you?
Oh, distant relatives. I mean, they shared the same last name, so that's all I can say. But they're Frank and Charles DeRay. They created the gasoline-powered car, and then Henry Ford pulled out the production line and just started making them cheaper, and down they went.
You could have owned the AFL, my friend.
No, too stressful.
Hey, Doc, we appreciate your time. You handled everything very well. Best of luck next week. The Hawks are flying. Congratulations on the win.
Thanks, guys.
Well done, mate. I love the way he goes about it.
Yeah, he's tough.
I love it. He's tough.
He's tough.
He's skillful. He does grouse stuff on the footy ground.
He's got two premierships, and he just avoided that Brad Scott question. We'll play that Brad Scott grab again if you haven't heard it after the break. It's quite extraordinary, and there will be a lot of fallout from it. Mark Howe, Brendan Fowler, that was Taylor Duray on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Stand by, Fev. You thought Darren Sammy was big. We've been doing everything we can to get a comment from the president of the Russian Federation, Vladimir Putin, after the IAAF voted unanimously to extend the ban on their athletes coming up to the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. We've got his number, so, Hive, get him on the phone now. Let's give him a call. G'day, President Putin. It's Howie here. Nice to catch up with you again after the chat we had in Sochi. How are you?
Hello, Howie.
Yeah, as I said, wonderful to speak to you again. Have you got any thoughts overnight in the IAAF's decision to unanimously extend the ban on your athletes?
Какой поддержки нарушениям в спорте, тем более нарушениям в сфере допинга, на государственном уровне не было и быть не может в России. Мы сотрудничали и будем сотрудничать со всеми международными организациями, которые работают в этой сфере.
Listen, I can understand your point of view. Fev, your Russian lineage goes way back. For the people here that don't speak Russian, we've got to let the president go. He's a busy man this morning.
what
have you got?
Okay,
translate it. What did he say?
He said, Mac Howard. He's Australian on SEN. Oh, sorry, Triple M. He very good cricket, but very skinny like a twig. Maybe we should get him on our athletics program. The Penguin, Barrack for Geelong. Good boy. Vodka shots next time we catch up, Howie.
Very good. What was the sort of with the Chinese accent?
Said.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I like what he said. Listen, we've got to discuss this seriously. We got Jared Talent on. Well done to you, Feb, after 10:30, and he'll address these issues with us. But you're actually asking me what's going on, so I'll try and explain it to you in a simple way. The IAAF imposed the initial ban on Russia in November under the allegations of state-sponsored doping and mass corruption. Now, that was extended in March, and everyone thought, come the Olympics, there'll be too much pressure put on, and the IAAF will cave, and the Russian athletes will be allowed to compete. But last night, the IAAF voted unanimously to extend the ban. They did leave the door open for some track and field stars to compete if, Fev, they'd done their training outside the country, and if, Fev, they'd been subject to strong anti-doping systems. It's come out that WADA released a report in the last 2 days that said hundreds of attempted tests had been thwarted in the Russian Federation. There was allegations of intimidation by security forces, and that more than 736 tests between Feb and May had been denied or cancelled. So they were trying to remove this cancer, this state-sponsored doping, from the Russian Federation, and the IAAF have come down overnight and thought they haven't done enough to do that. Sebastian Coe, the man that looks after all these things in the athletics world, he has been quoted overnight, and this is what Sebastian Coe had. No, we'll get to Sebastian Coe shortly, but it's a really tricky one. This
story. Yeah, it's an amazing story, Harry, to think that the athletes are actually on performance enhancing drugs. You know, being a professional athlete myself,
well, yeah, state sponsored. This is back to thinking, East Germany in the 70s and 80s.
It just blows my mind that you know, athletes will run the risk of putting this in their body to, because they're going to get caught. We saw an Australian get a gold medal yesterday.
Jared Talent, who will join us shortly,
which someone had cheated. And you look at Sharapova, Russian tennis cheating. So obviously it's littered, their whole country, all their athletes are on it. But then there might be those few guys that aren't on it, but they're not going to be able to perform at the Olympics for their country because they're all tarred with the same brush.
Well, this is the salient point, Fev, and I didn't do much work in legal studies, but there is a principle that goes along the line in law that it is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer. The midst of that saying is you don't want to find a innocent man guilty. So I really feel for the 1%, 2%, 30%, 50%, 70%, whatever the number may be, of Russian athletes that are competing within their system, within this framework, that have never done anything wrong. This is their whole life's work, and now they're being told, due to others, we're going to tar you with the same brush and we can't allow you to compete. But what's worse,
amazing.
Though? What's worse, that? Is that worse, Fev? Or is it worse that another athlete from another part of the planet that has done all that training gets beat by someone that's on drugs a la Jared Talent? What's worse? It's such a tricky one, isn't it?
It is a tricky one, Howie. You've got to think that obviously the people know that they're doing it. If you do get beat in a race, in a, just say a 100-meter race, and you come second, but then you don't get to compete. If a Russian guy was number one in the world and he's not running, well, he probably would have won anyway, and he's hasn't been taking drugs. So it's a bloody tough one.
Yeah,
I just feel so sorry for those guys that are actually clean and have been training for 4 years leading up to Rio.
4 years, 20 years.
Well, 20 years, but the 4 years since the last Olympics going, righto, this is my race. This is what I'm going to do. This is, I'm doing the shot put, I'm the discus. And then to be told a couple of months out, well, you're not going. Well,
and if you are a clean athlete within the Russian Federation and these alleged state-sponsored situations are going on, you've been a strong-willed person, to say, no, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go out on my own. I'm going to not take drugs. Here is Seb Coe.
The IAAF Council was unanimous that Rusaf had not met the reinstatement conditions and that Russian athletes could not credibly return to international competition without undermining the confidence of their competitors and the public.
Yeah, I don't have the answers. Maybe Jared Talent will. He'll join us after 10:30 after he was made an Olympic gold medalist 4 years after the fact. Another great example of it being a really tricky decision. Next, though, we chat with Greg Rust for all the latest motorsport news, thanks to Essendon Volkswagen. Lewis Hamilton, my man, to come out and give his fellow drivers a whack.
I always enjoy
on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Sharp segment too, just quietly. Already been a massive show. We've spoken to Mark Hayes from the Gulf. We've spoken to Vladimir Putin from Russia. We're about to speak to Jared Talent. We've got Mark Webber on the line. Taylor Duray. Big story still about the AFL with Brad Scott and his comments in the presser overnight. But no bigger than this man who is currently in Darwin for the V8s, Greg Rust. Hello, Thruster.
I'm worried about which direction the spike in ratings will go in this segment, Howie. impressive lineup you just rattled.
Yeah, well, Vladimir Putin topped it. He was a hard man to get hold of, but we did. What's happening up there in Darwin? Always one of the more entertaining places to go for the V8s, and they usually crack their first can about 8:10 in the morning up there for us.
I bet you it's hot.
We like that here. I mean, it's such a great place to come, Howie. We've had a little break in the championship. Everyone's been able to reset the batteries in some ways, and we are ready to go racing once again. And as you know, we've had a massively competitive start to the year with 9 different winners from 11 races, and there are blokes that are absolutely capable of being of joining that list. It's you know, the likes of a Chas Mostert, a Rick Kelly, for example, who was fast yesterday, and even Fabian Coulthard. They're absolute winning material, but they've yet to chalk one up for 2016.
Rusty, some interesting comments made overnight by Lewis Hamilton regarding the circuit in Baku, where some were complaining. This is what Lewis Hamilton had to say.
These drivers, they moan so much about so many things. I mean, it's really bumpy down the main straight. You can't really see turn one that well. You know, the car's vibrating, so it's really hard, but that's a part of racing.
It's a new circuit, the European Grand Prix in Azerbaijan. I was having a look at it last night.
I actually could not read that word. I'm like,
Azerbaijan.
Baku. Where is it?
Oh, it's sort of in Central Europe.
Okay.
Where Rusty's done some of his finest work in his day.
He
now, Rusty, what are your thoughts on Lewis Hamilton?
You know what? I think he's got quite a valid point, to be fair. I mean, this track, when you look at it, it's 6Ks long, Howie, through the capital city there. It takes in, I mean, if you're trying to draw a comparison, parts of it look a bit like Monza, parts of it look a bit like Macau, which is brutally unforgiving. So, you know, we've seen top speeds of 220 mile an hour on the old scale, 354 k's an hour. So, you know, they've had their challenges. There's no doubt about that with this, but I think it's another exciting addition to the calendar. But the Mercs have been fast in practice from what you've seen, and there's only 9 points between Rosberg and Lewis coming into this round.
You speak about those speeds, Rusty, and Daniel Ricciardo obviously crashed his Red Bull in practice, but he's signed on for a couple more years, which is great news for Red Bull.
Yeah, Fev. I mean, that just sort of highlights how unforgiving the joint is in places. There was heavy damage to his car. Came back 10th in practice too. But I think this is really cool. So you're right. He's re-signed with Red Bull. There was all that rumour about would he go to Ferrari. And, you know, I think most thought there wouldn't be any opportunities open up at Mercedes-Benz. So he's looking further down the track. He's signed through to 2018. They've got some good things in the pipeline with the rule changes for next year, and it seems like the right place to stay.
He had a couple of conditions on his contract. Did you hear about those, Rusty?
Are they Howie-style conditions?
No, they just wanted a really good tyre guy.
You're a hard marker, you are.
A hard marker? One job. Four tyres, one job.
Change my tyres.
Mate, we got Mark Webber on after 11 o'clock, which is fantastic, from Le Mans. He's going well. He's qualified second, but he will tell us. But you also give us your thoughts on this motor racing event. I think you went last year for the first time from memory. It's a really special event in the motorsport calendar. Can't wait to speak to him.
Yeah, it's great, Howie. The Le Mans 24 Hours is one of the big things on the calendar every year. And you're right, I was lucky enough to go last season. It's one of the real highlights for me. It's unfinished business for Webber. He was on the podium there last year, but it was the sister car in the Porsche squad that won. He definitely wants to win this famous race, guys. Absolutely.
Good on you, great man. Enjoy Darwin. Stay safe.
Cheers.
Plenty to come on the Dead Set Legends after 10. We're going to speak hoops with you, Brendan, our number one hoop expert. Jared Talent will join us as well after 11 o'clock. Mark Webber and Taylor Duray. And we'll play later on the show, once again, the comments from Brad Scott, which have caused all sorts of consternation this morning. We'll get back to that as well. The Dead Set Legends on Triple M.
And there's the buzzer. Game 7, Sunday night in Oakland. Another dominant performance from the Cavs. And we still have not had a close game in these finals. LeBron James making sure of that.
41 points to LeBron, Howie, Fev, Dead Set Legends, Triple M style. Wow, we're going to Game 7, Fevalenko!
Going to Game 7, Monday morning our time, 10 o'clock start, back at the Oracle Arena. And who would have thought a couple of days ago when it was 3-1 Golden State's way in Golden State for them to close it out. And they've just really found a way to play them, Howie. I watch a good show called Mike at Mike late at night, and they just showed they dissect the game amazingly, and they were showing how they're always J.R. Smith loves shooting from the 3-point line, obviously, but he's been playing on Curry and driving him, making him defend because he's a horrible defender. Great shooter, obviously, great player, but can't defend. So they've been taking him on, and he's been getting tired and missing his shots. And LeBron and Kyrie, a couple of games ago, 41 players each, 41 points each. Both players, first time ever in the history of a game that two players have scored 40 points. And then LeBron turned up again yesterday. And I'll say it now, you've heard it here first. No matter what happens Monday morning, LeBron James will be the MVP of the finals.
Even if they lose?
Even if they lose. You can't not get it.
Well,
he's absolutely dominated. And there's one quote here that from our very own Matty Dellavedova, who played a couple of minutes yesterday, come on in junk time, but it scored a couple of points. He said, "One game for all the marbles." You definitely take that at the start of the year. I can't wait to get started.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a massive event. Let's hear from LeBron about making history.
Hey, man, records are meant to be broken. At the end of the day, we're a team that's been persevering all year. You know, the outside noise, you know, everything, you know, and we just, it was like, hey, at the end of the day, let's just go out and play and see what happens.
Well, tell me about your man J.R. Smith. This is probably his six-year-old daughter after the game when questioned about her dad and what he gets up to. This is his little girl.
I'm just proud of him because he made the championship without getting kicked off the team.
So he's a bit of a loose cannon, your man J.R., is he? Gets in a little bit of strife off court.
He does, and he's got all the tats all over his neck and all over his body, and he's really come to the party, and he really compliments him well. And you know, when you're playing with LeBron James, he drives to the basket, draws through two or three players, and then he just dishes out for a pass and obviously gets the assist. And J.R. Smith, Shepard, those sort of Jefferson, those blokes are just sitting at the 3-point line going, "Thank you very much." LeBron's got a lot of me about him. Just strut and just...
Which is why we love him on this show.
Player.
We love him on this show.
It's a job done.
The big story, watching a few of the highlights, your man Steph Curry, who's obviously he's the big deal from Golden State Warriors.
He's got a bit of hype about him. Well, he's whinges.
Well, there was a bit of an incident on court. This is how it went down with the throwing.
Johnson able to get that deflected rebound. And a foul on Curry. And Curry is going to get it with a technical. He throws his mouthpiece after fouling out of the game.
And it hit a fan, Mike.
Steph Curry. apologizes to the fan, but lost his temper. First time he's fouled out since December 2013. And then gets hit with a technical foul with 4:22 remaining.
You've been telling me this morning that is the championship moment
done
right
and dusted.
There.
All over Howie.
Why do you say that?
Mate, he mentally cracked. First time he's ever been ejected from a game. He's got the MVP, current MVP, you know, championship player, reigning everything. And he lost his marbles.
Mm.
Literally got fouled out.
He's a champ, though. He can come back from that.
But
you're telling me you can't.
It's just the message it sends. When he walks down, he walked down the race, and I could see, you could see on the Cavs players' faces, we got these boys. Two games ago, they didn't have that. He was splashing 40, him and his mate Thompson going bang, 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 bang. Now he's been ejected, fouled out. All his teammates are like, geez, he's the best player in the world. He's lost his cool. Shouldn't have done that. His missus has gone out in a big rant.
Well, talking about that, there was a big story made here when Trent Cotchin's beautiful wife stood up for him, which, you know, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. You reckon that's a story? What about Ayesha Curry? The wife of Steph Curry has got on Twitter. This is after it's gone to Game 7. I, quote, have lost all respect. Sorry for this, but it's absolutely rigged for money or ratings. I'm not sure which. I won't be silent. Just saw it live. Sorry. So she's basically said the NBA is a corrupt operation and they wanted to go to Game 7. They did get rolled by 30-odd points. There's a couple of big statements there.
Literally 5 minutes after the game had finished, that tweet popped up and ESPN were all over it because I was watching it and they brought it up and she's kidding herself.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
But we love that it's gone to Game 7. How exciting. One more game of basketball. Well, they will play the whole season, 82 games plus playoffs. All comes down to the tip-off and four quarters of footy, mate, of basketball.
And you tell me the Cavs are going to win?
The Cavs will win. Be the first team ever to come back from 3-1, and they'll win it in the Golden State's house.
Okay, LeBron, well, you reckon the Cavs will win? I'll make a statement for you. Adam Scott will win the US Open. He's currently six shots back. So two big statements already today. This is Mark Howard, Brendan Favola. We're talking footy next, Dead Set Legends, and then Jared Talent. What a show we're putting together today, Fev. Triple M. This is Legends, Mark Howard, Brendan Favola. Jason Day has just made a birdie to get under what the cut figure is projected to be at plus five at the moment. The Americans continue to lead with Dustin Johnson six under. Adam Scott is one over the card at the moment. So he's still in business, although
I'll
just declared he was going to win.
No chance of winning.
I might have gone a little bit early there. Now, last week, Fev, you were talking about you were lining up against Fitzroy.
Fitzroy Stars.
And we got
out of Hurstbridge.
We got their man Luke on, the fullback who you were going to play on. This is how it went down. And we said we'd try and get hold of the bloke you'd be playing on today.
You haven't got him, have you?
We have got him on the line.
It'll be the start of his greatest day ever. He gets to go on the radio and then play on me.
Luke McEwen, the fullback from the Fitzroy Stars, joins us on the line. Good morning, Luke.
Good morning, gents. How are you going?
Describe your physical characteristics. How big? What are you weighing at?
So I'm about 118.
Oh, wow.
118 kegs.
I've got the nickname Chin, so I've got a massive chin. So,
so do I. Hope we don't run into each other.
It's going to be the chin show, I reckon.
Chin v.
Roger Ranger off.
How did you go against him in the Fitzroy Stars?
Yeah, well, it was a chin-off, and he didn't quite play that well, the big fella. I felt sorry for him. No, he played all right.
How many did you kick on him?
Yeah, kicked a lazy eight, but I was pretty good too. Turned it on, and the poor bugger, Chin. Yes, the nickname was Chin too. They were going, Chin, Chin, yelling out, and he was quite a funny fella, and I kicked a goal in the last quarter. I started to turn it on. It was pretty close, and I just flicked some switches, and he went off with a sore leg.
Did he?
Yeah.
He did. Now, who are you playing today?
We're playing Sunshine out at Deer Park today, so that'll be good back at my home club, and I'm really looking forward to it. And one of their boys, Skinny, in the reserve playing his 400th game. So congratulations, mate. And amazing effort. 400 games at one club is
my word, it is
pretty at this day and age. Obviously, it's amazing. So hopefully the boys can get up and we can have a couple of wins and a few froths tonight, and then home on the couch. Buddy, go the Parkers.
Hey, fantastic game of footy last night. We spoke to Sam Mitchell, and I wanted to play you a little bit of this. We spoke to Sam Mitchell in the rooms after the game, and Jason Dunstall asked him a question about Trent Dumont and the fact that Dumont had played on him for the first time and how Mitch would go about changing or approaching it next time they met. This is what Mitch had to say.
Every time you play on someone, I try and keep a bit of a record about what they do, what their strengths are, how they were able to exploit me, just so next time I play them, I've got a bit of a different strategy if it didn't work, or if it did work, just trying to remember what I did to make sure that I can contribute.
I love that. And if you're a young footballer or sportsman or anyone out there listening, if that's what Sam Mitchell does to get better, then that's what you should be doing.
I think Harry Taylor does the same thing. He's got a book, a journal that he writes in, but I didn't have to do that because I pretty much play well on everyone. So
is that right? Is that right? Yep. So did you go in with a technique against certain players? Who used to have the wood on you, in all seriousness? Come on. There must have been blokes you lined up on and thought it's going to be a tough day today, or this bloke's done the job on me before, etc.
The only person that beat me was me. So it was mentally, if I wasn't on, I wouldn't play well.
But so why would you not be on? Explain to me going to the ground and not being on.
Yeah, you just lose interest, or something happens, you get hurt, you get injured, you start thinking about something else. You're not, a famous coach once told me it's 90% up top and 10% talent.
So there was never a player you played on that thought this bloke's better than me, he's going to have the wood on.
I always thought I was better than every player I played on.
All right. On the reverse side of the occasion, who did you jump in the car going on a Saturday morning to think you beauty today and playing on X?
Shannon Watt.
Hello to Shannon out there. Taking his kids to Oz Kick this morning and saying, I used to play footy.
Mate, it'd be 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd order a large pizza knowing that I had him the next day, and I'd be just sitting there eating my Supreme or Capricciosa. Then I'd drive to the game licking my lips. Wouldn't even warm up. Get out there, kick eight, go home.
Anyone else that you've got Shannon Watt in there? Anyone else that maybe...
Who else did I play? I used to love playing against the Pies and the Bombers. Used to love playing on Dustin. I love playing on the big players like Scarlett and Dustin Fletcher and those sort of boys. And
so you're telling me you weren't concerned about Motty Scarlett and what he'd bring to the table?
No. Well, you wanted to play better because obviously he's a champion player. And when you're playing on these guys, you want to kick goals and play well and be good for your side. And when you play on the blokes, there's a couple of blokes I played on. I spoke to a guy on radio, did an interview down. He's going to Newcastle tomorrow and he was doing a breakfast show in Newcastle. And his name was Tim Gill, some Gill. He played at Adelaide. Still don't know who he is, but... He was playing on me in Adelaide, and he said that there was a famous one-liner that you did, which is the best I've heard, because the runner come out, and I said, mate, can you get me a record so I can see who I'm playing on? He didn't like that too much.
The level of confidence that you have. I thought Duck was out of this world in self-promotion, but you have taken it to a whole nother level here. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howard and Brendan Favola. The boys from the Saturday Rub are rolling into the studio. They've got Jack Zeeble on the show, Cyril Rioli and Jim, who will be fulfilling the role of the North Melbourne president when he's responding to comments made by his coach Brad Scott last night in the post-game presser about Lindsay Thomas.
The umpire's told our players that, he's a ducker, so we don't pay high free kicks to Lindsay. So that's clearly a preconceived idea. You just want the umpires to umpire what they see, not their preconceived idea. We're not going to sit here and cry and moan about mistakes. I mean, mistakes happen. So, but preconceived ideas and going into a game with a preconceived idea about a player, I don't think's right. But I'm sure Hayden will deal with that.
Hayden Kennedy is the man in charge of the umpires. Now, I put it to you, Fev, that there's no way that an umpire will have come out and directly made comments that strong. I put it to you, and we weren't out on the field, although we've got information through here that those comments on the field weren't made in that way. You've received a couple of texts. You're very well connected in the world of football. I put it to you, as I discussed earlier on the show, the old Chinese whispers theory where a free kick is or isn't paid, an umpire makes an off-the-hand comment along the lines of, Lindsay may have ducked, or we're not paying that, he's ducking, etc. It gets exaggerated down the line and ends up with the coach in the cold heart of light of day. What he said in the press conference can be differently and construed in a much different way to the way it was made out on the ground.
Yeah, 100%, Howie. And I think now with the technology that the AFL does have, and we've come a long way in that sort of, in that aspect, all the umpires are mic'd. So everything they say would be recorded. So I doubt very much that they would have said that. And if he did, he was obviously going to be some strife, but I've had some texts and that wasn't said. So, Scott might find himself in a bit of froth and bubble, mate.
Well, the AFL are investigating it and I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it.
Because at the end of the day, it's going to be recorded, isn't it?
Well, yeah, everything is goes through the audio system.
And there was four of them last night.
It is an extraordinary thing to bring up in a press conference, though, because... Yeah, these guys are well briefed. You know, you make a comment like that, you know that it's going to be a big story, and you know that it's going to be a story that's delved into the next day.
Well, the funny thing is, it's not funny, but you'd think with saying that sort of statement in a press conference that he'd have some pretty good mail that did happen.
Well, he's not making it up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't think anyone is saying something that I don't believe is true, but it just gets passed along the line in the heat of a game of football, and message A ends up at message Z.
But he's professional enough and been around the traps long enough to know it has to be 100% before you say things that's going to be this big.
I think Damo's got some news on it too, coming up on the Saturday Rub. The show wrap and the Dead Set Legend and Donkey of the Week next. Triple M. Triple M's Dead Set Legends for Harvey Norman, Mark Howe, Brendan Favola, a very annoyed hyphen who's starting to push the buttons in an aggressive positive manner. If you've missed the last 3 hours, wow, you've missed on a bit of this stuff.
Well, I've come in here this morning. I've actually had to do a little bit of research, which is the first time this happened in about 9 years of this show.
Well, I've come in this morning and I'm obviously talking to Hyfe about the basketball and trying to get your attention. You literally have given us donuts for the last half an hour. So,
well, you know who I've been trying to get on the line.
I can speak to you.
You know who I've been trying to get on the line?
Who's that?
Vladimir Putin.
I speak a bit of Russian.
Go on then.
Yeah, I'll after.
Now, last week, Fev, you were talking about you were lining up against Fitzroy.
Fitzroy Stars.
And we got their man Luke on, the fullback who you were going to play on. How did you go?
Yeah, kicked a lazy eight, but
I was pretty good too.
Mark Webber joins us.
No, I'm looking forward to hearing your debrief and surfing up a Noosa there, mate, when you get a chance.
Yeah, it's pumping in Noosa and warm. It's pumping down here and it's absolutely freezing.
You speak about those speeds, Rusty, and Daniel Ricciardo signed on for a couple more years, which is great news for Red Bull.
You're right, he's re-signed with Red Bull.
He had a couple of conditions on his contract. He just wanted a really good tyre guy.
You're a hard marker, you are.
A hard marker? One job. Four tyres, one job.
Change my tyres.
Well, his title is the Golf Australia Media Manager, but I just refer to him as the great man, Fev, because he is one, Mark Hayes. Hello, Hayes.
Hello, how are you?
Do you have Vladimir Putin's private mobile number?
I do, actually. Yeah.
Text it through, mate. Gold medalist in the 50K walk, Jared Talent.
And now, Jared Talent is, yes, the Olympic champion.
Do you ever confront athletes face-to-face that you believe are breaking the rules?
Yeah, definitely. At the recent World Teams Championship, some of them were very vocal against a drug cheat that just returned to competition. Calling him a cheat.
And how does that athlete in particular react to that?
In that situation, he tried to explain that he is a person, he has feelings, and that he's trying to change. But it's difficult for us because we don't believe that. And this particular athlete's lied many times in the past.
G'day, President Putin. It's Howie here.
Hello, Howie.
Have you got any thoughts overnight in the IAAF decision to unanimously extend the ban on your athletes?
Какой поддержки нарушениям в спорте, тем более...
What did he say?
He said, Mac Howard, he's Australian on SEN. Oh, sorry, Triple M. He's very good cricket, but very skinny, like a twig. Maybe we should get him on our athletics program.
Very good. What was the sort of with the Chinese accent? Said, yeah. I liked it. Maybe the show wasn't that good after all. And time for the Dead Set Legend and Dead Set Donkey of the Week. I'll go with the legend, Jared Talent, who came on this show, and you heard those grabs that, yeah, the athletes get around and they confront those that they think are doing the wrong thing. The fact that he's now an Olympic gold medalist and hopes to defend his title after having to wait 4 years and over 1,200 days is extraordionary. And he spoke well, didn't he?
He did. He spoke really well. And it was a great interview, Howie. And, mate. Congratulations. That's a great legend. You've nailed that, mate.
All right. It is time for the Dead Set Donkey of the Week. That's where you press the button of the donkey noise, Hyphen.
Can we put Hyphe in there?
Oh, wow. He's not even doing his job now. It's time for the Dead Set Donkey of the Week.
Usually he does the sound effect. I don't do the sound effect.
Who's the donkey?
Well, I was going to put the Russian Athletics Federation in, obviously being banned from the Olympics, which is an amazing story in itself, but... After the last 10 minutes, it's got to be Hyfe.
Well, people that don't know him, this is the man that comes in here and his job is to press the buttons. We're a positive show. He's brought nothing but negativity.
Absolute negativity.
Unhappy sentiment. I'm aggression. I'm not sure he'll be here next week. The boys from the Saturday Rub, though, they'll be on in about 2 minutes. They are locked and loaded. All sorts of stories revolving around Brad Scott. They'll bring us that and more. Fev, well done. Kick some snags today.
Deer Park, sunshine, snags.
Well done, MJ. Cheer up, Hyfe. Peace, love. We'll see you next week. Dead Set Legends.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast for Harvey Norman.